We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Almost Friday, Thursday. We welcome you to the show as we come to you live and direct from the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And, of course, on the YouTube South Point Streaming Network, we welcome you to the show. And I can tell you right now, the chatters are just chatting away already on the YouTube site. So if you've never tried it, go to YouTube. Punch in South Point Studios. When you get to that page, punch in the Race Day logo there, and you'll be on the Race Day page. And on the Race Day page, on the right-hand side, you'll see all the chatting that's going on in the chat box. And if you want to participate, which we hope you do, to be interactive with our show, just to hit subscribe. If you haven't already, if you have, you've subscribed already, no problem. You'll just start chatting. And if not, you can hit subscribe. It is free of charge. Doesn't cost you anything. Hit subscribe, and you'll be chatting away as well on this Thursday show from Las Vegas. And, of course, we welcome all of our listeners here in town, running around town with, of course, the traffic in at this time of the morning here in Las Vegas on our anchor radio station here in Vegas, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of the websites that we have are racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas, .world, .global. We got them all. We, of course, stream on that as well. And we are taking care of your devices, your iPhone, Android, and, of course, your Google phone, so you can get your apps for the Race Day show, either the YouTube app that you can see and hear us, or the KSHP app that you can hear us through the radio station at your app stores for your devices, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day show for this Thursday. Hey, it's 51 degrees right out now outside here in Las Vegas. We're going to get up to 71. This is the parameters that we'll be dealing with all through the weekend in case you want to come up and spend the weekend here, maybe in the race book here at the South Point, with two huge cards coming up on Saturday, both at Gulfstream and at Santa Anita. It's going to be a fun day of racing between those two venues, that's for sure. And since they're on opposite sides of the country, it'll be going from morning, noon, and right into the beginning of the evening, that's for sure. And, of course, if you want to, like I said, the overnight lows are going to be between the high 40s and low 50s overnight. In the afternoons, it'll be in the low 70s to the mid-70s with sunshine here in Las Vegas. And it's always fast, firm, and perfect in our race books, as you know. All right. We have a pick six carryover today at Aqueduct. I want to remind you that on Sunday, Gulfstream Park will have a mandatory payoff in their pick six their jackpot pick six pool. So if you don't hit it on Saturday, going to be a big kind of an instant horse player holiday on Sunday for the mandatory payoff and the pick six at Gulfstream Park, because you know on Saturday they'll be playing away on that thing on just a fabulous card at Gulfstream Park. They'll have 9 stakes races on Saturday at Gulfstream Park, 4 grade twos, 4 grade threes amongst the 9. And at Santa Anita, you'll have 4 stakes races, 2 grade ones and 2 grade twos. And in addition to the, and by the way, Aqueduct will have 4 stakes races, 2 grade threes plus 2 others. And in addition to the Kentucky Derby point-getting races, both at Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and at Santa Anita, and the Kentucky Oaks point-getting races at Aqueduct, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita, Santa Anita will also have their historic Santa Anita Handicap, the big cap. That'll be part of the Saturday program as well. So it's going to be a great day of racing on Saturday. We're going to be setting it up for you as we did yesterday with John Linda. We got Jonathan Hardoon back with us today. And so Jonathan will, of course, we'll go over those races with Jonathan today. Jonathan will be here along with Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J as well. And like I said, it's going to be some great racing on Saturday. Hey, I want to thank Jonathan Hardoon, although he wasn't with us yesterday, for a couple of winners yesterday. He gave us 2 winners out of 2 picks yesterday on the card. At Gulfstream Park, Luis Saez had a couple of wins. He won the second race for Mike Maker, who had a couple of wins as well, paying $8.20. Came back in the 6th race, Saez did, and paid $7.60 there. As far as Mike Maker, of course, he had that second race winner. He came back in the final race of the day with Edgar Zayas aboard at $14.60. And Jonathan Ardoon's play came in the 5th race. As you know, he said, even though it came off the turf, he still liked it on the taffeta footing there, the synthetic racetrack. And Oxar, under Leo Salas, wins the race and pays $10 even. So thank you very much for that, Jonathan. And this horse came from dead last in the race, completed circle the field on the turn, and then got up to win. Oxar wins for the race day listeners. Jonathan Ardoon's pick at $10 even. Just in case you're wondering about Jonathan and his selections, you know, we tell you about all our handicappers, how well they do and how much work they put in their product, their handicapping sheets. Now, Jonathan gave us a winner at Gulfstream Park, but if you got his sheet yesterday, you really hit the bonanza in the 8th race, where his top selection won and paid $18.80. His second selection ran second in that race, and the $1 exacta paid $196.30. So Jonathan doing good work there. The late pick 5, by the way, Gulfstream, paid $14,164.40. And, of course, at Tampa Bay, that was where Jonathan's other winner was. But before that race, Jonathan's pick came in the 8th race. But if you saw the 7th race at Tampa Bay, I mean, this was an absolute disaster. They opened the starting gate. Some of the horses came out, some didn't. One came out without the jockey. The other one came out and took three steps and just stood there. And for the purposes of wagering, there are only three horses left going down the backstretch, so they call the race immediately as a no contest. But if you have a chance, you really have to see if they will show the replay of the seventh race that became a no contest after the debacle at the starting gate. Thank goodness they got that starting gate situation resolved by the next race, which was the eighth race, Jonathan's Pick, because Jonathan's horse, Mystic Loot, won that race as well, paying $10 even. So Jonathan gave us two $10 winners yesterday, even though he wasn't here. And at Turfway Park, I wanted just to mention that Dwayne Carlucci gave us an exacta box that he wanted. One of the horses was scratched, so it was no play in that race. One of the two horses in the exacta box was scratched. All right, taking a look at some of the news, especially for the Triple Crown and, of course, the Kentucky Derby. The Rebel winner in the race is going, they're expected to go in the Arkansas Derby, but they're going to wait and see how Cole Battle comes out, came out of the Rebel for that one. The runner-up, Sandman. Actually finished third. Sandman finished third. He's going to go to the Arkansas Derby on the 29th of March. So Sandman will be back. And Matticat Road, who finished second in the race, that's a Bob Baffert trainee. He's going back. He went back to Southern California. Baffert has no plans immediately for Matticat Road and his next start. However, Baffert said he's going to regroup with a horse called Gaming. You remember Gaming had a couple of disappointing runs lately, so he's going to regroup with that three-year-old. But his top three-year-old, Citizen Bull, is on target for the Santa Anita Derby on April the 5th. So just want to keep you posted about that. And talking about overseas, there are some horses that are Derby qualifiers overseas. And it seems that a horse called Opera Ballo, which is a Godolphin-owned horse, is the Euro points leader right now in the Kentucky Derby. But they say that they're going to probably keep him back in Europe and keep him on the Euro Classics on the turf course there. So we'll wait and see about that. Now, as far as the leaderboards are concerned, if I can get the computer to work here, there we go. As far as the leaderboards are concerned, Kentucky Derby leaderboard, Cole Battle, the winner of the race on Saturday at Oaklawn Park, the Rebel Stakes winner, is now the leader. He has 70 points with that win in that race. Citizen Bull, who's waiting on hold next for the Santa Anita Derby, he's second with 60. Then you got Getaway Car at 36, Built at 35, Madigan Road at 31, although we don't know what he's going to be doing. Sandman, who will go in the Arkansas Derby next, has 29. Speed King has 25. Chunk of Gold has 25. Burnham Square has 20, along with Disco Time, Captain Cook, John Hancock, and California Burrito. All of those have 20 each. As far as the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard right now, and of course this is before this weekend because there are three races each for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks leaderboard that has 50 points up for grabs. But now, just before we get into the weekend, the high total point getter for the Kentucky Oaks is the winner of the Honeybee at Oaklawn Park over the weekend, Quiet Side, with 68 total points. Good Cheer has 45. Then you got Tenma at 33, La Cara at 33, 5G at 25, Mohima at 25, Eclatant at 23, Take Charge Milady at 20, along with Simply Joking, Running and Gunning, White Rocks, Her Laugh, and Running Away. They all have 20 on that in the top of the leaderboard there for the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. All right, well, today, as I say, we got Jonathan Ardoon with us. Of course, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J. And we will have, of course, your racing menu coming up next. There are no cancellations to speak of today around the country. The weather's starting to finally get good after all of that bad weather we've been experiencing over the racetracks around the country. The only bugaboo for the entire nation is clear except for the northeast quadrant, way up north by the Canadian border in Maine. They're getting snow, and you got rain going through parts of Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. Right now, they say it's just misty and a little bit of light rain at Aqueduct today for their racing today. And don't forget, you got a pick six carryover today at Aqueduct. And as far as the temperatures are concerned, outside of Las Vegas, 78 degrees in Miami. You got 56 in New York with that light rain around there. Chicago's 48. Detroit is 45. And then you've got Phoenix, Arizona at 84. Southern California, Los Angeles, 83. But there's no racing there today at Santa Anita. And, of course, here we're going to get up to 71 today in Las Vegas. All right. You're all caught up to goods. And now it's time to get started to find more winners today on the Race Day Show with our handicappers. So we're going to be right back, and when we come back, of course, we'll get your racing menu and start with our handicappers. Don't go away and start chatting on the chat box there at YouTube.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Almost Friday Thursday. Top payoffs yesterday, Gulfstream Park's Pick 6 jackpot, the 20-cent jackpot, paid $30,616.68, more than one winner. And so that means there's still a big carryover in the Pick 6 jackpot pool there. But boy, that was a nice win, $30,000 for a 20-cent base bet yesterday at Gulfstream. The late Pick 5 paid $14,164.40, as I said. And at Gulfstream Park, they had the last five races, $10 even. That was the start. Jonathan Hardoon's pick was the start of it in the pick five. As far as the pick six was concerned, you started out with a 480 horse, then Jonathan's $10 horse, then 760 and 420. So how the heck did this thing pay $30,000? Well, the last two races paid $1,880 and $1,460, and those middle-priced winners are very dangerous when you're talking about getting that payoff. Elevated if, in fact, you have those. So keep that in mind when you're playing the pick six and the pick fives. All right, let's get started with the racing menu of racetracks today, reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're here in Las Vegas, these will be the first post times to roll in our race book right behind us on the main floor here at the South Point. And, of course, if you're listening on the many different time zones that we have throughout the world, just adjust from whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone, because these will be the first post times broadcast here. The first post times are the Pacific time zone, so you can tweak that from wherever you're at so you don't miss anything. Like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. We begin with Parks Racing today. Parks Racing, first post time for Parks Racing for their 10 races at Parks will be at 9:05 today at Parks Racing. They have 10 races today and pretty much full fields there, parts. Mahoning Valley is next. Mahoning Valley Racecourse has 10 races. They got a pick six jackpot carryover of $6,297 there at Mahoning Valley. And Mahoning Valley's first post time for 10 races is set at 9:15 at Mahoning Valley Racecourse. All right. Next comes Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream Park has 9 races today. Their first post time is 9:50. And as we say, they still have a big pick six jackpot carryover. It stands at $247,754. $247,754 at Gulfstream today for their Rainbow Pick Six carryover. Remember, if it doesn't get hit with a single ticket today, tomorrow, or Saturday, then a monster carryover for the mandatory payoff on Sunday. But today, it stands at $247,754. You've got 9 races today at Gulfstream and a first post time of 9:50. Aqueduct is next, the big A in New York, as we say. They tell us that Aqueduct is a little bit of rain going on there now, light rain. 47 degrees will be the temperature at post time. The track is labeled fast there at Aqueduct today. Their pick six carryover, $20,328.99, if you want to be exact. $20,328 in that pick six carryover at Aqueduct. Eight races today. First post time is at 10:10 at Aqueduct. Fairgrounds kicks in with nine races. Their first post time at Fairgrounds is set at 10:45 at the Fairgrounds. Sunland Park will have nine races today. Their first post time at Sunland Park is at 11:25. They got a couple of small carryovers there. Pick five, $116. Super High Five, $425. Nevertheless, they are carryovers. Sunland Park has a nine-race card, but their first post time at Sunland sitting there at 11:25. Next comes Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona. They'll start off with a couple of quarter horse races, the first two, and then races three through nine will be thoroughbreds at Turf Paradise. Their pick six jackpot carryover right now at Turf Paradise stands at $19,443. Nine races at Turf Paradise today. First post time is 11:55. Then we get the Penn National. Penn National has a Super High Five jackpot carryover of $3,491. Nine races at Penn Nat. First post time, 2:45. Turfway Park, man, they still got full fields. Ten races and full fields in all of them. All ten races. And Turfway Park has a pick six jackpot carryover of $60,716. That's their pick six jackpot carryover. They also have a Super High Five carryover of $5,879. 10 races at Turfway. First post time is at 2:55. And then we wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown races. Pick six jackpot carryover, $18,643. And a first post time for nine races at Charlestown at 4 p.m. 4 p.m. at Charlestown today. And one final note before we get to Jonathan Hardoon. One of the really first ladies of horse racing, Patrice Wolfson, passed away on Tuesday at her home. She was 87 years old, and her and her husband, campaigned great race horses throughout their career. And one of them, of course, was the Triple Crown winner of 1978, Affirmed. And so we want to thank her and her passion for horse racing. She was one classy lady in racing, that's for sure. All right, Jonathan Hardoon, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm sure you remember Patrice Wolfson.
Of course. I mean, you know, her and her husband were major players in the game for many years. Laz Barrera trained for them.
Yep.
If you remember, they were certainly pillars of the game.
That was a time, now I'm thinking about, he won the Triple Crown in 1978. And I remember that was the time also that Steve Coffin was the just absolute darling of everybody in horse racing, a young 17-year-old kid that was a great apprentice, went on to be a great jockey, and he rode Affirm in the Triple Crown. And one of the most exciting three races in the Triple Crown that I ever remember in my lifetime, his battle in that race, of course. And all I can say about that is, the next year, when Affirmed went out to Southern California, Steve Cawthorn went through one of those unbelievable losing streaks that lasted almost 2 months. And in that losing streak was a ride that he gave to Affirmed in one of the stakes races at Santa Anita that put Laz Barrera right through the roof. Barrera changed riders. He went to Lafitte Pinkeye Jr., and Pinkeye Jr. rode Affirmed for the rest of Affirmed's career, for the rest of the years, a four-year-old. But that was those were exciting times. You know, in the 70s, if you remember, I think we had three Triple Crown winners. We had Secretariat, Seattle Slough, and Affirmed.
And almost had
Spectacular Bid, come to think of it.
Yeah, and Steve Cawthorn was amazing, especially as an apprentice, Ralph. He was in New York. He was winning every race, every day. You try to beat him, he would beat. It was just, he was on some run. And as good as he was when he was in New York, you're right. When he shipped to California, just the opposite. He could not buy a winner.
Oh,
and It's a tough thing to go through, but that's the life of an athlete.
Yeah, I was on the racetrack at the time in Southern California, my first lifetime before this, and I remember that even on the major news networks, the 6 o'clock news networks, the sports guy was keeping track of Steve Cawthon's losing streak. I mean, it was really something else. But those were the days, and now we move on to a big weekend coming up this weekend at Gulfstream and Sanita, I think, don't you?
Even New York. I mean, coast to coast, they really have terrific cards. I mean, Gulfstream has 9 stake races. It's like a Breeders' Cup day. Santa Anita has, I think, 4 stake races. New York has some reason. They have the Gotham. So a lot of terrific racing this weekend.
Of the three, Kentucky Derby prep races, the 50-point prep races between the Gotham in New York, the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream, and the race at Santa Anita, I believe it's the San Felipe. Which one, intrigues you most?
Well, not the California race, to be honest with you, because, listen, the favorites there probably look a little better than the rest. You have Baffert with, I think, 2 or 3 horses. The race that's most wide open, in my opinion, is the Fountain of Youth in Florida. There's no standout there. Even the New York race, the Linda Rice horse, the name skips me at this point, but that horse looks pretty good. And I'm interested in the Florida race, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Linda Rice's horse is Sand Devil in the Gotham.
Right. Yeah, so Sand Devil, listen, 3 for 3, and he's run exceptionally well in all 3 of the races. He's stretching back out to a mile. His mile race, 2 starts back, he won by 12 lengths. It was only a second start. You know, Lascano and Rice, they just continue to do unbelievable work.
Yeah,
but
they do.
This horse appears to have the field over a barrel. I mean, you know, Cox has a horse in the race that's a little interesting, but so far the Linda Rice horse has done nothing wrong. Not that the Cox horse has done anything wrong either. Sacrosanct or however you pronounce it, that horse
Sacrosanct.
Yeah, that horse is 4 for 4, but that's a New York bred facing open company, so let's see what happens.
Well, you know, the New York bred.
Linda Rice horse is also a New York bred, by the way.
Yeah, I would say the New York breds are doing just fine. They're okay.
Yeah, yeah. All right. A New York bred. You're telling me?
Oh. Well, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. But you set me up for that one. In any case, the Fountain of Youth. Yes, it is an interesting race. 8 horses go to the post in that one. And how do you see that one? Taking a quick look at it. Obviously, on Saturday, we'll get your selections.
Yeah, I honestly did. I just gave it a quick look, Ralph. I'm not prepared to make a commitment at this point. But
well,
I
think in that race, Sovereignty and Burnham Square will probably get a lot of interest from a lot of people.
Yeah, well, Burnham Squares goes for his 3rd in a row. He's won his last 2 races, and he beat a nice Cox horse last time out when winning the Holy Bull. So he hasn't done anything wrong. Ian Wilkes certainly knows how to get these horses right at the right time. So let's see what happens.
Well, we got to see what happens in Southern California too, because Bob Baffert in the San Felipe, there's 6 in the race and he's got 3 of them. So here we go again with one of those situations where, you want to get in the Baffert barn if you're any jockey, and you're not going to go out there and try press a Baffert horse so you both go down in flames. So it's going to be a race where they got to figure out which one wants to go to the lead, etc., and just to play it from there. But the horse that everybody is waiting to see run again is Barnes. I mean, he's going to be the odds on favorite, I would think, out of the 3 Baffert horses. And of course, Barnes is trying 2 turns.
Yeah, he's 2 for 2. You're right. He's stretching out for the first time to a mile and a 16th, first time around 2 turns, but he's done nothing wrong. I'll tell you one thing. He ran super in his 2nd start last time out in the San Vicente. If you remember the race that he won at Churchill, he had a bit of a tough trip that day. He was, he had to work to win that race. Martin Garcia rode him that day. Then he came back to California and he hooked up with Juan Hernandez. Juan Hernandez is going to stay aboard, and it's going to be interesting. But when you, like you said, Ralph, when you have three of six horses in the field, you know, it's not exactly fair, but that's the way it goes.
Now, Jonathan, of course, you know, Baffert has in the past, I think most, maybe even during this meet, had, you know, a cluster of horses in a short field at the track, but he got beat. I think Dick Mandela beat him with he had three horses in a race that he didn't get there. And the same scenario might play with journalism, Mike McCarthy sending out journalism, and this is a nice horse.
Journalism, so if someone's going to beat him, it's going to be journalism. Yeah. That, you know, that horse is making his first start as a three-year-old. He was last seen, I think, at Los Al, if I'm correct, and he won that race. He was going... That race was a distance race. He ran super, super that day, and now he gets the. And I think he beat a Baffert horse that day as well. So, who knows?
I think it's gonna. You know, I know that you think that the less interested interesting of the three races might be the San Felipe, but I think that might be a very interesting outcome in that race because I think there's going to be a chess game going on there. And then you got Flavian Pratt, which is the X factor on one of the Baffert's horses, Rodriguez. I know Rodriguez kind of disappointed last time, but Pratt might make the difference there.
It's first time Pratt away from Juan Hernandez. I don't know if Juan Hernandez had the choice to ride Barnes or Rodriguez, but listen, we've watched Pratt forever, Ralph. We've watched him even this year. Every time he ships into a track track for the weekend, he seems to come away with a lot of wins. He always seems to make the right choice. If you remember last week, he was on a maiden that ended up running very well at Oakland. He finished fourth. You remember we couldn't understand why he was riding that horse?
Yes, he rode that maiden for Steve Asmussen, I remember. And and let me tell you something. You watch that race, you put that horse on your horses to watch list. I don't know if he would have been able to catch a Cole Battle, but I think he would have been second because I can tell you what, he got jammed up real hard at the 3/8 pole coming out of there, and Pratt had to wait and was bounced around a little until he got clear. At the end, when you saw the gallop out, at the end, after the finish line, he was moving faster than anybody else in that race. Keep that horse in mind, and I'll try to get his name. I got it written down somewhere because I do want to bet that horse back.
And he was a maiden, if you remember.
Yeah.
We were talking about it, and we said, how the heck did Asmussen sell? Must have sold him some bill of goods. Well, guess what? They weren't that far away second, Ralph.
No, they weren't.
Pay attention. Who knows where he's going when he rides?
And of course, you know, we got the three Kentucky Oaks prep races. You got the Busher at Aqueduct and the Devonadale at Gulfstream. And then on Sunday, you got the Santa Isabel over at Santa Anita. And as far as the three-year-old fillies, I haven't figured out what the heck's going on yet, but we'll have a better handle on it after the weekend. But as you say, there's a bunch of stakes races on the undercards of these races, and some horses that we've been waiting to come back are coming back. Mindframe is going to go in the Gulf Mile. Neat comes out to California to run in the Kilroy Mile. And Locked also comes out to California to run in the Big Cap at Santa Anita. So it's going to be an interesting day of racing and stakes races at both places. Can't wait to get started on that.
And Locked is real good now. The interesting thing is they're actually making an equipment change. They're putting blinkers on Locked. You know, so maybe that'll make the difference. But he's unbelievable. He's one of the top. He will be certainly one of the top horses this year and all the horses anyway. So good for them keeping the horse in California. They had an option to go out to Dubai or wherever, but they opted to stay home. And that's a good thing. Aaron Wellman did the right thing, especially he's for California. He's from California. So why not show the horse off in California?
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. And in that race, along with Locked, who is, you know, coming out to California, you also got your man, Brad Cox, showing up with Hit Show.
Yeah.
All right.
Locked is the horse to beat, though, Ralph.
All right. Well, you're talking about, yeah, I know. I'll probably land on that horse, too. But in any case, today, when you say you've got some top horses running around the country, we got a top handicapper here. You gave us two winners out of two plays yesterday. And they were both nice prices, $10 winners there. So let's get started. Let's build on that, buddy.
Two major tracks running today that we do, Aqueduct and Gulfstream. No Oakland, no Santa Anita. They resume tomorrow. But we're going to look at Aqueduct's eighth and final race. And we have a pick six single for you here. You said there was a carryover. Eighth and final. the number 1A Badge of War, part of an entry for the Richard Dutrow. This horse really is on the improve. Graduation day today, Eric Kinsella aboard to ride number 1A Badge of War. Wins today's eighth and final out at Aqueduct. Pick six, pick five, pick four, pick three single.
Well, that's enough. It's a pick every. It's a pick everything race, that's for sure. You got two scratches coming out of that race, the 5-horse Timing Difference and the 9 Golden Symphony.
So Golden Symphony. The two price horses, they came out. It's not going to affect the odds much, I don't think.
Good. Okay, so in the eighth and final race, the 1A. Now, for some reason, if this horse gets scratched later in the day, you don't want the 1, right?
No, I want the 1A. Right, 1A or nothing.
1A or nothing. Badge of War or nothing in the eighth and final race at Aqueduct. And now we'll go to Gulfstream, your other track of the day.
Well, we picked the final race at Aqueduct, so let's pick the opener today at Gulfstream. It's 7 furlongs on the main track, and the number 2 horse in here, Well Aware, 3-year-old filly, makes a first start in Florida, first start for trainer Safi Joseph. Last seen in August at Ellis Park. I love the barn switch. Irad Ortiz takes the mount, 4-1 on the morning line. Number 2, Well Aware, wins today's opener out at Gulfstream.
All right, first post time at Gulfstream Park is 9:50 a.m. Pacific time. That first race, you like the 2, Well Aware. One scratch in that race, that's the 5, Downtown Row. The 5 is out of that race, but the 2, Well Aware, is the winner of the opener today for us at Gulfstream Park, starting off that early pick 5. All right, you got a full sheet at Gulfstream and Aqueduct right at your website.
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. Be well. We'll chat tomorrow.
All right. And you get to work, buddy, because there's a lot of races we got to go over on Saturday.
I'll be ready.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Hey, we're going to be right back with Rich Eng. And of course, we've got John Leno and Jerry J on deck yet. So don't go away and chat away as well. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
That's moving almost Friday, Thursday show. Now we go out to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners. And I want to start out by saying I bet both of Jonathan's horses, so thank you, Jonathan. But, you know, on the one at Gulfstream, he got CAW'd because that horse was 15-1 in the morning line, was 8-1 loading the gate, crossed the finish line at 4-1. That's why the horse paid $10.
I know. But that was just, it was. I have a few words in my mind that I could use that I'm not, but it was just pathetic is probably the nicest of the words, that's for sure. That CAW is, cutting into normal horse players, and it's making a difference. A lot of people are upset about that, but you're right. This horse, Jonathan, it was morning line at 15-1. We didn't expect to get 15-1, but we did expect to get something close to maybe 8-10-1, and that was ridiculous. I'm so glad that they ran the race because they were just shoveling in the money on this horse.
Yeah, the horse, you know, at 8-1, that means the horse would have paid $18. So you bet $20 to win.
It's $180.
You get 100 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, we only got 100.
Back 100.
Yeah, for our 20.
Yep.
But it's still a profit. And I guess, who knows, maybe it was the Hardoon factor that happened. We got to tell Jonathan not to bet that much money, I guess, huh?
Yeah, maybe Jonathan's buying a new car after the race. Who knows?
We gotta check it out, that's for sure. In any case, Richie, we're getting closer and closer to flipping the page on the calendar and getting to March. And you know what happens when we get to March. It's March Madness, and we are expecting you to help us out as far as the not only the college basketball conference conference play, but, of course, in the NCAA field, the NCAA major final basketball tournament there. But I know you have a lot of work there, but you're also keeping on track with the horse racing. I'm sure you'll be looking at a lot of those great races over the weekend, including your sheet that's available every racing day for Santa Anita. But Santa Anita is not racing today, and I know you have a pick for us.
Yeah, and before I give the give you the pick, I did have some time to watch some basketball last night, and big wins on the road for Michigan State and St. John's. They both won road games. It's tough to win on the road in college basketball. And then I watched some of the Auburn game, and they just blew out Ole Miss. That's one of my teams that I have. But after about a few minutes into the game, they're up by like 20 points after about halfway through the first half. They are a heck of a basketball team.
So, I think Auburn is a rated number one, are they not?
If they're not number one, they're number two. No lower than that. But
between them and Duke, I guess, are going back and forth. But I got to say that St. John's, with that coach Patino, he knows how to win. And he, by the way, is he's a horse owner too. He loves racing.
Yeah, he. In fact, I saw a video of him that he did like yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he talked about a horse that won at Aqueduct just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Greek name, and he said he named it after his. His agent in Greece when he was coaching pro basketball over there.
Yeah.
But, he's still very active in the horse racing game.
All right. Well, give me a horse today.
Let's go to Aqueduct race number 5, Ralph. I'm going to try the number 2, Dr. Kraft, 9-2 in the morning line. Lane Luzzi is a good long shot jockey. And I'll tell you how old I am, Ralph. When I worked in New York back in the early 80s, his dad, Mike Luzzi, was one of the the top 10 jockeys in New York. Now Lane's the kid. He's a good long shot jockey. He rides really hard on these price plays. This horse will be coming from the back. Number 2, Dr. Kraft in the 5th.
5th race, the anchor race in the early pick 4, early pick 5, and part of that pick 6 with a carryover today at Aqueduct in the 5th race, the two horse, Dr. Kraft, the 2 in the 5th, Richie's play. And Richie, I was reminiscing, talk about the old times with Jonathan Ardoon and Patrice Wolfson and her passing. What a classy lady, and what a great contribution to horse racing that family made.
Yeah, I did have a chance to meet them early in my horse racing career. They ran the Harborview Farm, and of course they had a firm. And also I heard you guys talking about Steve Cawthon. I learned a lot about Steve Cawthon when I went to Turfway, but he did his apprenticeship at River Downs in that summer of 77, then he went to New York, and he tore up Aqueduct and just had a phenomenal apprenticeship there. Yep. And there's a water tower just south of Turfway in Walton, Kentucky, home of Steve Cawthon on the water tower.
It sure is, and we have passed that water tower a few times amongst our travels, that's for sure. And, of course, his battle with Alidar in 1978 Triple Crown is something that we may never really see again. Well, we did see Sunday Silence and Easy Goer, but those are few and far between. It makes racing exciting, that's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it, my man, and we'll wrap it up with John and Jerry right after this, so don't do it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Chat away.
Get ready to laugh with Punchlines with Frank Nicotero. Join Frank and his team of featured guests for your daily dose of comedy.
Burrito, the Pittsburgh of the West.
Poison. Yeah. Poison.
Sports. F for Falcons, Alex.
We were talking Derek Carr for MVP after 2 games.
Who's we?
Okay, me. I was.
And the funniest social media posts.
People want to show off their food. Boom. Wiener on a guy's shoulder.
It's our fault. We bleed blue.
It's your one-stop spot for great laughs and a good time.
But a bumps.
Find us on YouTube at Punchlines FM. And join the chat live weekdays at noon Pacific for the ultimate blend of joke, sports, and viral fun.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Now we're going to go out to Southern California where John Lindo is standing by. And lo and behold, John Lindo has a Lindo report today here at the South Point for Gulfstream Park today. So, John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. We were just kind of reminiscing a little bit about the old times with the passing of Patrice Wolfson, but some great racing, and part of that great racing in the old time made the history what it is today of the Santa Anita Handicap that'll renew on Saturday.
That's right. The Harborview Farms, the pink and black silks and Affirmed, and so many good horses coming out of there, and a terrific family that's been in racing for many, many decades.
You have a Lindo report today for Gulfstream Park. It's available only in one place here in the gaming capital. It's right here at the South Point free of charge because they love horse players here. So you can get the Lindo report today for Gulfstream. And as we always do when we begin another racing week at a racetrack, the start of the week that John has a sheet for, he updates us on the jockey training standings.
Well, the leaders have not changed. Arad Ortiz is the leading jockey at Gulfstream. He's got 81 wins. Tyler Gaffalione second with 55 winners, and Edgar Zayas having a good meet, 52 wins for him. As far as the trainers, Safi Joseph, he's been on top from the start. He's got 52 wins. Jose D'Angelo second with 31. Mark Cassie with 27 winners. And for you, Ralph, favorites are holding at the norm, 33% for the meet.
All right. I can handle the norm at 33%. We got to start working on that. Those favorites, though, at Santa Anita. That's absolutely for sure. Hey, a big weekend coming up at Gulfstream and Santa Anita, and you're covering it with the Lindo reports.
Yeah, a lot of races at both tracks. Santa Anita has 11 Saturday, 11 Sunday. Gulfstream has, what, 14 on Saturday, and I think 11 on Sunday. So we're going to be busy on the weekend.
I think you'll be burning the midnight oils doing all that handicapping, that's for sure. But you'll have two complete Lindo reports for Santa Anita and Gulfstream's big day of racing on Saturday, correct?
Right. And then on Sunday, with that mandatory payoff in the Rainbow Six at Gulfstream, I'll do those pick six races in addition to Santa Anita.
And, of course, tomorrow Santa Anita starts. It's a big weekend there. But you have a report. You have a Lindo report today for Gulfstream Park. John, in looking at all those races, and I know you just took a thumbnail of it, and we talked a lot extensively yesterday with you, about these races. I think that the race at Santa Anita, the San Felipe, is going to be an interesting chess match because I know Baffert's got three in the race, but journalism is a horse to be reckoned with.
He is absolutely a horse to be reckoned with. I just wonder if he's going to need this race. We talked about it yesterday. He got sick in December, missed a little bit of time, so he's playing a little bit of catch-up. And you don't think I don't think there'll be a pace duel in the race because the speed of the race are both from the same barn. You have Barnes and Rodriguez, who probably would be on the lead in any other race, but they're not going to go head and head.
No.
So it's advantage Bob Baffert, which is not an unusual thing in a 3-year-old Kentucky Derby prep.
And you know we're excited to see Barnes come back after his short reputation so far, but he's doing something for the first time he hasn't done.
Right. He hasn't been two turns yet. Now he's bred to get it, and he looks like he'll get a middle distance for sure. But you look at him, he's a big, heavy, stocky horse, and I just don't know until I see it how far is Barnes going to run.
Well, that, of course, is a lot of answers will be done on Saturday and Sunday between the Kentucky Derby preps and the Kentucky Oaks preps and a lot of other good racing. Can't wait to see the big cap renewal there with a couple of Eastern horses coming in. And even Neat showing up in the Kilroy Mile. It's going to be very interesting. Can't wait for that. But we got to start building a bankroll, so why don't we get a pick from you today at Gulfstream Park?
Let's go to race 7 at Gulfstream Park. An interesting horse in here, number 5, Don't Tell Tammo, originally in California. This is a horse that got a prep race on the dirt at Gulfstream, moves to the Tapita today. This horse had worked very well on the Tapita training track at Santa Anita. He's by a good synthetic track siren, Bucaro. And the Kent Swinney barn has done very, very well in the Tapita races at Gulfstream. I got a feeling this is why the horse went back to Florida, was to get on the synthetic track. At 4-1 on the morning line, I'm willing to find out. Race number 7, number 5, Don't Tell Tamo at Gulfstream.
All right. In the 7th race today at Gulfstream Park, John's pick is the 5, Don't Tell Tamo, the 5 in the 7th race. Remember, he's got a full sheet handicapping in all the races, all that goody information at the bottom. And, of course, a suggested late pick 4, which also offered, is in that 7th race as well. All on one comprehensive sheet. The Linda Report here for Gulfstream today at the Racebook here at the South Point. Thanks a lot, John. Get back to work, buddy.
All right, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it. Now let's go out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry's going to be, he's actually in business today because they are racing at Aqueduct. And, Jerry, we got a carryover in the pick 6 today at Aqueduct.
We had 20 dimes, so it's a nice little number, something to seed the pot, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of a little, get you a little adrenaline moving early in the week before the big weekend of racing. By the way, yesterday when we were talking about you, we kind of shortened it up because we were running out of time. But you asked me about, you know, jockeys, et cetera. And I was just giving you a point about jockeys. And then you threw in the betting angle for jockeys, too. I guess whatever your handicapping is, right, Jerry? Whatever your handicapping is, if it's, you know, influenced by jockeys, trainers, or whatever, the bottom line is it's always the value is the premier thing to look at.
Yeah, well, you have to make a judgment. In other words, you know, if you look at one horse, you say this horse is much better than everybody else, and you decide on what's the fair price for that horse, that if you played that horse 100 times, you'll make a profit. I mean, that's what you want to do. So, but if you ever look at a race and you've come out and however you've calculated, you using jockeys and what have you, that the race is dead even.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes out to dead even. Well, then the only thing that matters is the price, and everything else has been neutralized by each other. So,
and I know that you also stress the use of your bankroll, whatever it may be, and the percentages of your bankroll when you buy into a race or a gimmick, right?
Well, your bankroll should remain pretty constant. You should be sort of be betting the same amount. You don't want to bet a little bit of money on a winner and then a lot of money on a loser. That's that's a losing way to play. So you can't mastermind those things. You kind of just have to say, look, I'm betting $50 a race and however many races that works for, and just staying with that. And then, you know, you can move it up to 55 or up to 60 or back to 45 or 40 if things are not going your way. But you want to stay pretty much with the same amount per wager. You want the handicapping to be really sharp.
And I got 30 seconds to ask you this, as far as the bankroll is concerned. When people say, you know, I want to play a pick 6, pick 4, pick 5, you don't want them to overweigh that in their bankroll, right?
No, not really. I mean, you know, typically to take a small amount of money and throw it at a pick 3 or a pick 6, sure, when you get lucky, you're going to get a big payday. Uh-huh. So, you know, a couple of bucks from your side pocket. But if you're going into your bankroll, into your real bankroll, and you're taking a big chunk out of that to play these races, you're giving up an awful lot to insiders and to people with huge bankrolls.
All right.
They have big advantages on you, so it's a tougher play.
All right. Well, we're going to get an easy play from you today because we're going to follow you at Aqueduct. So where are we going with the pick today?
Let's go to the second race, Ralph. Maybe we'll get it started. There's a little bit of light rain. Right now, I think the track is considered fast or wet fast.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Backstretch Rose, really appeals to me. This filly is blinkers off. Has run 2 nice races in a row for Jorge Abreu and seems to be in really good form. I think she's just better than these. I think 3-2 is plenty of – I think there's value at 3-2 on this horse, and she's 5-2 in the morning line. I'll take the 3 over the 1-5. I'll reverse 1-5 maybe to break even. I'm really all about the 3, Backstretch Rose, in race number 2 today.
All right, second race at Aqueduct, part of the early pick 5 and the start of the early pick 4. 3 horse, Backstretch Rose, the 3, Backstretch Rose. Only 2 link-ups, the 1 and the 5, just to break even, but you really like the 3 in that race, and that's the second at Aqueduct. I want to remind everybody that Jerry J's Power Page for today at Aqueduct can be found right at his website, jerryjspowerpage.com. Well, we're heading into a really neat weekend of racing with all those great races at Santa Anita and at Gulfstream Park, and our handicappers are working hard to find us some winners there. But for today, we have one more thing to say, and Mr. Jerry Jackwitz, as always, is going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.